We were talking about the face of God and we were rehearsing the glory of God and what happens to people when they actually get exposed to the true glory of God. It's just not a glory cloud that comes around you and says that's the glory. It is sometimes manifested visible glory if it's manifesting here. But something happens in the true realm of glory. You get an exposed to him that was and is to come, like Moses did. We've said it many times. Show me your glory. God said, I'm going to show you my back parts. And he showed him everything behind him, literally, all the way back to Genesis. And he wrote all those books because he walked out the beginnings. And he saw every single detail of every single person's life, which would have been utterly impossible to pass that kind of knowledge on to anybody, I believe, 2,400 years later. You could find that kind of knowledge. I would just encourage you in the technological age to go back 2,100 years just in your lineage and then write about your ancestors. You see what I mean? I mean, write everything about them. You'd be hard-pressed to find out who they are, much less who they married, much less every single emotion, Laban deceiving Jacob two or three different times, seven more years. I mean, he got him to do it. So that kind of exposure in the glory of God, it's a living reality in a time in which you're caught up in the Father. We see this also with Peter, James, and John get caught up in the Mount of Transfiguration. Peter writes about the second coming. Didn't give us a lot of detail other than it was a sure word of prophecy. We beheld him in his glory, and we have a sure word of prophecy concerning his second coming. We have seen him. We're eyewitnesses of it. God considers even the movement in the realms of the glory, whether it was past, present, or future, eyewitness as living, real, because Peter testified of an eyewitness state of seeing the Lord in his second coming when he was beholding him on the mountain. He used the Mount of Transfiguration as his position to say that, but he got caught up in a future position. But God considered it truth. Because Peter said, we are eyewitnesses of his majesty, having a more sure word of his prophecy, not considering old wives' fables, but we have seen him. He's testifying of a future event because he was there. And God considers that truth, viable, firsthand, authentic eyewitness testimony. And that's important because I never saw that before. And then we see, like Isaiah, we see the encounter in heaven. You remember the doors shook, the four living creatures, holy, 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 the whole earth is full of glory. And it wasn't full of glory. Everybody was going into apostasy, 7 years, 70, they were going into captivity. The four living creatures were somewhere else because they were beholding some other place. Could you imagine what they get to see? No wonder they sit there and say, holy, holy. No telling what the Father exposes them to of eons of time in front of us. No telling what they get to see all the time and just to sit in the glory of God and just go, holy, holy. I mean, because they're seeing everything. They got the eyes and they get to look into him that was, is, and is to come. Eternity past, present, future. I mean, that would blow our head off to see something like that, you know? But they got to see it. But anyway, Isaiah ends up getting caught up in one encounter, and he writes in three different dimensions. He writes in his day. He writes in the Lord's day. He has multiple prophecies about them. But then he also writes in the last day church, the final church. And actually, he writes in a generation that's in front of him, which is the generation that comes out. He writes about that. Then he writes about the Lord's day. And then he writes about our prophetic generation. All because he gets exposed to one encounter. Okay, so this is the face of God. And so we have this realm of God, this face. And now Psalms 24 said, this is the generation that will seek thy face. They're going to obtain, like Kevin Sadai, the Lord told him, he goes, I'm going to let this generation catch me. Well, that's what he means, because he's moving in the light. To catch him, you're going to have to get in front of where you're at. You're going to get way in. You have to be in the Father. That's the only way to catch him, is to be with me where I am. If you're going to catch me where I am, you're going to have to be in the Father, because basically saying, I'm going to let you see the unlimited realm. This is the generation that will obtain this. This is us, the King of Glory coming out. Amen? Okay, so now we have this final book, and this is how it got started last week. It started getting caught up. And God starts talking to me. He goes, that's just not a normal book right there. There's something that sets the book of Revelation is set apart like any other book. There's no other book like it. because it is all futuristic events. Now, Daniel did that, but what makes it different is we have an eyewitness, real-time, authentic eyewitness of John while on the earth, literally not saw the book, he walked the book. That's a difference, and that's all the difference in the world. To see it is not eyewitness testimony. In other words, if Cody is Daniel, stand up over here, Daniel, and God comes to Daniel, and all of a sudden Michael, the archangel, shows up and says, "Hail, thy mighty man of valor, praise God. It took me 21 days to get all this to you." He fought the principality, and then he delivers Daniel the unfolding revelations of the four kingdoms to come. But from where he's at, he lets him go see it out there. You see that? That's not eyewitness. That's the same thing that the apostle John got when he, the first revelations of the seven churches, the Lord came to him where he was and showed him the expanse of the seven churches. But once that door opened in chapter 4, and I saw a door open and he got caught up, you have to understand how heaven works legally. Heaven works in a legal position. So none of those are accounted as eyewitness. It's not an eyewitness testimony because he was not there when it happened. He was just seeing it. In other words, I can see the future. I'm not an eyewitness of the future because I can see it. I have to be present in that future position to be a legal eyewitness. Just like Peter, though he was on the Mount of Transfiguration, he started in his time, but when he got caught up in the Father's glory, he got moved in the Father up into the second coming. He saw beyond our day, beyond the tribulation, he saw the second coming King manifested, and he wrote about it. And God, and Peter said, we're eyewitnesses of this. And because he said that, it made it legal. He was a legal eyewitness of an event that hasn't even happened yet. You wrap your head around that, because you have to wrap your head around that, because that is the legal courtroom operations of God. Without understanding that, you're not understanding what we're doing. And this why, this is it. This is why it's it, because we have main points of the book of Revelation he's given us over the years. I don't understand the whole book, but I can understand enough of how it plays out. I understand the timeline. God gave us certain bullet points of the overview. I'm not a biblical scholar teacher of the last days eschatology, but I have an overview enough to know the beginning and the end and some things happening in the middle. That's important because we're representing a crown that's going to outlive us. We're going to be at one point raptured out, but the crown's going to continue. So just like Abraham, his seed was far outlasting his own lifetime. God was dealing with him in major future events when he went before the face of God. That's important because you always have to be in the end. So let's get back to the book of Revelation. This book is set apart because it's an eyewitness testimony of a person that was on the earth, got caught up in heaven, but he lived the event. Didn't see it, lived it. Walked all of it out. All of it was shown to him, given him, and he interacted in that place specifically with elders. He spoke, he ate a scroll. I mean, he wept, he cried, he was shown real time. He was there, and God was using his authority. Now watch this, as an eyewitness to witness the events of the last days. Say eyewitness. Highest level of testimony given to men, authenticated eyewitness testimony is what makes the book of Revelation not only real, not only authenticated, but finished. In God's eyes, this has already been done. Why? Because John walked it through as a man in the earth. Everybody in heaven's given these powers, by the way. When you get to heaven, you're given powers to see. In fact, Rick Joyner pointed that out when he was caught up in the judgment seat of Christ. They were talking about, we're standing here looking at him. The closer you are to him, the more you see. But even in the back row, the people can see. As the glory of God, one of the things they said is that we've been given powers of the age to come. We can see the events roll out. they're watching things. They're already living them. But that's not eyewitness, because you're already in heaven. God had to use the authority of someone who was already on the earth. That's why even the Lord in the upper room, if you watch his prayer, man, he starts them. He says, they're not of this. He says, they're of the world. I'm not of the world. Then he says, they're not of the world. And then he says, I sent them. He didn't say, I'm going to send them. He said, he didn't say, Father, send them. He said, Father, I sent them. You know, when he's doing that, he's not just praying a prayer. He's actually moving into his Father, into a position where that's what he did. It says, let us rise and go hence in chapter 14. He actually started moving out in the future. He moved post-cross. He moved baptism of the Holy Ghost, them sent as apostles into the earth. When he stood in front of them in the resurrection and sent them and commissioned them, he moved at least to that place, because he said, Father, I sent them. He moved past that. I sent. See how he's doing that past tense thing? He's not standing there and saying that. He's actually in a real-time position of sent. That's important, because when he speaks from that position, it's done. See, he's speaking from the finished position in the finished position. Now, back to the book of Revelation, we already have the testimony given to us by an established apostle, and it's eyewitness testimony. And you got to get this. You got to keep on it till you understand why God gave the eyewitness testimony. God could have shown all that to John where he was, but he chose to bring John into real time to finish the crown before he ever started it. He finished, completed, done, and gave an eyewitness testimony of a man who walked it out, like just like you and I are going to walk out our future. He already did it. And the book is already established as truth. Isn't that awesome? So the will of God is already done. So anything that happens with us from this point forward is already what? Finished. Why is that important? Because the prayer we're praying is, your will be finished in the earth as it is finished in heaven. You get another revelation of the finishing now. And secondly, we have authority now, and which we're going to do today. I'm going to spend a lot of time on this phase. I may not even drop down in the earth today. We may just stay up in the realm. I'm going to show you how to overview this realm. We're going to go and we're going to overview it. We're going to walk with John through the finished work today. I'm not going to walk every single detail of the book of Revelation. I'm walking the bullet points of what he showed us that are in this constitution. I'm going to walk the whole thing out all the way to where? At least to the 1,000-year millennial reign. Right? The 1,000-year millennial reign. Or we can go a little further, because we're going to show you all the things that happen that are in here. We'll start praying them out as we see them. We can go a little bit further and go the end of 1,000-year reign, and God will empty. He'll take the devil that was bound 1,000 years. Remember, he got out and the Lord threw him in the lake of fire. And we don't really need to go any further than that, praise God, right? We really don't need to go any further than the beginning of the 1,000-year millennial reign, because that's when the kingdom of this world become the kingdom of our God, and God's got it under control. Now, why are we doing this? Because the Lord said, if you shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free. If any man follow me, he shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. We're actually following him. But how we're following him? We're following him through the word, right? And so we have license and authority to go walk out an eyewitness testimony with John. We have license and authority. Why is that important? Because as we're walking it out, it's being finished in us. We're being clothed in the finished work. You see that? Because it's a licensed, authenticated eyewitness book that has not happened yet, it sets it apart from anything else. But God didn't do it alone. He left the witness with Peter, James, and John, and he left the witness of the two witnesses. They witnessed, eyewitnessed the last day, because God's not going to leave one thing. He's going to confirm it in the mouth of at least two. And so Peter, James, and John on the Mount of Transfiguration confirmed the second coming in an eyewitness state. So as we walk through this realm of joint heirship, we're being clothed in the finished work. clothe in the finished part of the crown. Every time you do it, something happens. As we walk through the ideas, we're walking with John in the eyewitness state. Now, don't look now, but you're perambulating. You're perambulating in the highest level of truth with all the imagery you need. The book of Revelation has all the imagery. Don't get stuck on all the judgments. Get stuck on the witness. We're really walking through his witness system. We're walking with the two witnesses, the 144,000. I'm walking from God's point of view with the crown, not all the judgments of the wicked. I like the part midway through when the two witnesses are killed on the streets of Jerusalem, and they're laid to stay there 3.5 days, and then they're raised from the dead in front of the whole world, and the Bible says the whole world watches them. Only with cell phone technology could that happen. The whole world watched them ascend before God, just like the Lord did. If you really looked at the exponential thing about that, two apostles, and what do? They release 12,000 from 12 tribes. 12,000 times 12,000. An exponential amount of apostles, 144,000. It's really cool how it kind of works the way when the Lord was resurrected, he sent out 12. They sent out 12,000 times 12,000. So when they, then all of a sudden, Michael comes in and he clears out the second heaven. I see all that. I see him throwing the devil down and all the principalities get thrown down into the earth. The second heaven, the one that he brought Jesus to and says, and he took him to the glory of the kingdoms of the earth and says, all these are mine. I'll give them to you if you'll bow down and worship. He took him to his ruling throne in the second heaven as the king of Tyre. He took him there. And the Lord didn't argue with him at that point, but he knew he was going to get it all back. Well, that day, all of them, the devil and all the principalities, will be dethroned midway through the tribulation. At that point, nobody wants to be in the earth because that's called the Great Tribulation. And that's the most wicked time in the history of mankind, that 3.5 years. I was weeping today when I saw the 144,000 witnesses be commissioned to go and minister in the most darkest times of wrath of all human history. They were sealed by God. Many of them will probably give their life. But to witness in that time frame, just the grace to do something like that is just beyond me. But then in the end, the Lord comes and he stands. He brings back. We'll be with him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So when he comes with 10,000 times 10,000s and thousands of his saints, He merges down in the battle of Armageddon. The Bible says he slays the kings of the earth with the sword of his mouth. These are the wicked people. They should have been slayed 1,000 years ago. But, I mean, they're the wicked ones. The stuff they do, they're going to deserve the slaying. But he'll slay them with the sword of his mouth. He calls the birds of the air to come feast on the kings of the earth. He gave them plenty of time to repent. He said, kiss the sun. They would never do it. But then he establishes his millennial reign. All of this is part of the crown. We may not be here, but neither was Abraham when he was confirming the covenant, but he saw it. See, you have to go beyond your day when you're moving in the realms of the glory. I didn't set it up like this. I'm just going with it, right? So as we go to the end, each time we do this, we're getting a vivid, you talk about imagery. Everyone's looking for imagery, looking for visions. It's all there. There's enough there to give birth. There's enough. I don't even need an encounter with God. I can just use John's encounter. It's truth of the highest level. If God never gave me another encounter ever, I have enough to give birth to this crown because John walked out the end as a blood, air-breathing man this side of eternity. He saw it. He wrote it, and God confirmed it as an eyewitness. Amen. So each time you do that, you're clothed in the realm, right? And as you're clothed in the realm, you're getting ready to bring the realm you're clothed in down into the earth. Isn't that awesome? To say, Father, to decree thy will be done now on the earth, all of it to the end, as it has been done in the end. But if you're just standing here in the book of Revelation, something in front of you, and you're lollygagging with a book, you don't really know that end. You got to get clothed in it. You got to get it on you. It's got to be a part of you. And the way you do that is how we're going to do it today. You go up into this realm and you walk it out with John, like we're going to do today. And each time you do it, you're clothed in it, clothed in it, clothed. And that's going to give you the dominion and the authority to decree thy will be done on the earth as it has been finished, walked out. Amen. I'm excited because this is it. this is that revelation. I know it's it. Glory to God. Because every time I go to God, I said, if there's anything else, this is it. Show it to me. I'm pretty sure this one is getting ready to blow out. When that crown begins, nothing's going to stop its end. It already has, and this is important, the end in it before it ever started. Why? Because you stood in the end. Amen? And we have all the truth we need to stand in the end. I love the counters. I had one today. Honestly, if he didn't give me another one, I can just use John's. It's plenty. And that's why the Lord said, it's finished. It's enough. My grace is enough. You have what you need to get the job done. Isn't that awesome? Praise God. When you're walking, you'll see the imagery, because the book of Revelation is imagery. We're going to walk through the highlights all the way to the end, because we want to know the end, say the end, from the beginning. And each time you do it, I promise something happens to you. It's a faith generator. There's something going on there, especially with the crown, because when I come to say give birth to the crown, I'm standing in the end, not in the beginning. I've gone to the end. So everything you're representing, and this is what God's trying to say, everything you're being clothed in, I'm not just clothed with the beginning, I'm clothed with the end. All the way to the ruling and reigning with him for 1,000 year millennial reign. All of that is inside of us, with us. Amen. That's what we're going to do today. We're going to walk into the end. So I want to share this little encounter today. So I was up there doing what I'm talking to you about today. And as you know, we have the plumb line phase now. As things are starting to come down into the earth, we move up and then we bring it down. Amen. It's what you're bringing down is what's going to happen. What you're bringing out from that realm. All right. So something happened. It's really powerful. I started to move down, and you know how we do the circle thing and we do the crown thing and how we draw the perimeters. I saw it look like a Niagara Falls, but it was a round circle. Niagara Falls, 360 degrees in it, but it wasn't white. It was golden oil that was flowing down like a circumference. It was just flowing down. Like if you did a whirl in a water, if you swirled enough, it'd create a funnel-like effect. But the golden oil was just pouring down. I wasn't just seeing it. I was in it. It was so awesome. It's like I stood down and got baptized in this jurisdiction in this golden oil that was pouring down. I'm telling you, my friends, this thing is getting ready to roll out from heaven into the earth, the continuous oil of God. I mean, once you start getting exposed to this realm, there is really no other place to be.